I will open the Joint Interim Committee on Referendum 301. The first item on the agenda is to adopt committee rules. You all receive those rules in advance. Is there a motion before the committee?
Nope.
Oh, I open an organizational meeting for the purpose of adopting committee rules. All of you have received those rules. Is there a motion from the committee?
There is. Would you like that motion?
Yes, I would.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move adopt to the proposed committee rules.
Okay, it's been moved to adopt the proposed committee rules. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, motion passes. We will now go on to opening a public hearing on draft ballot title and explanatory statement for IRR 301. Will the committee administrator please give a brief overview, and then we will call up legislative counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you received in advance of this hearing a proposed draft explanatory statement, which this committee is charged with drafting, a proposed ballot title as well. You also received a council opinion. You have a copy of the referendum that was submitted by petitioners, and you have a copy of the underlying House Bill 2391 today for your discussion. What is the purpose of today's meeting is to take public hearing on the proposed explanatory statement and ballot title. There will be a 14 calendar day public comment period in which the committee will receive public comment via our set up email account. That information will be made available to you through a shared network and also posted on OLIS in preparation for our second meeting, which will be on September 20th, at which point you will consider the comments that have been received, make changes however you feel appropriate to your draft ballot title and to your explanatory statement, and it will be adopted at that time. Mr. Co-Chair, I will turn the floor back over to you.
Okay. If Mr. Johnson and his other counsel will come forward, and I believe you're going to provide us a brief walkthrough of the ballot title and explanation and potentially touch upon your legal opinion if you feel that's necessary.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, members, good morning. I'm Dexter Johnson, Legislative Counsel, and I'm joined by Chief Deputy Legislative Counsel Lori Freeman and Deputy Legislative Counsel Dan Gilbert. And Lori is the drafter of the both underlying House Bill 2391 and the ballot title and explanatory statement. Dan is our initiative and referendum law expert. And I'm simply going to address, if the committee wants me to, the our conclusions concerning one aspect of the measure that has gotten a fair amount of attention, and that is the duration of the 0.7% assessment imposed on hospitals, if that needs explanation by the committee. Would you want me to go ahead with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So a good starting point there is to start with House Bill 2391 itself, for which petitioners have sought to refer only a portion, not the entire bill, only limited portions of the bill. And what I'd like to do first is highlight the status of House Bill 2391. It is currently a duly enacted law that has not yet taken effect, but it has been signed, but it's been passed by the Legislative Assembly and signed by the governor. So it is set to take effect by its terms the 91 days after session. The effect of a referendum petition is to suspend a law that has taken effect until the date that the referred measure or portions that are referred come to a vote between by voters. And in this case, it's a special election in January of 23. So if you have a successful referendum petition drive, that suspends those portions of the law that otherwise are set to go into effect. So with that, what I'd like to do is kind of walk through the particular provisions that some of which have been referred and some are in the process of being referred and some of which have not, and flag for you kind of the issue with why we feel the 0.7% assessment is only a limited duration. So what I'd like to do is first ask you on enrolled House Bill 2391 to turn to Section 27 on page 15 of that measure. And you will see there, this is the 0.7% assessment. And you will see that's in subsection 2. And that has been referred, or is in the process of being referred by petitioners to the ballot. The next section down, however, Section 28, is actually an amendment to Section 27. And it begins on the same page. And you can see at the very last line of the bill or of the act, Section 28 refers to Section 27 of this 2017 Act. And then over on the next page, go to subsection 2, and you can see right there that 0.7% assessment is still there. Now, this section was not referred. So as of it is current law, and it is scheduled to go into effect on the 91st day after session. The Section 28 does amend Section 27 by changing the type of hospital that the assessment is applied to from a waivered hospital to a Type A or Type B hospital. So that's that amendment of Section 27 by Section 28, not referred by petitioners, that's what's going on in Section 28. And then I'd like to ask you to turn to Section 44 over on page 21. And this is a kind of complex operative date. And the first thing I'd like to flag for you there is that it says that if a particular federal agency called the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services authorizes, using the terms in the bill, actually permits the state to impose assessments, then, and you will see under paragraph A, I'm going to skip over a lot of text here, that section, the amendments by Section 28 of the Act become operative on the later of January 1, 2018, or the date of approval by CMS. So what this provision is saying is that Section 28, it's already enacted, signed by the governor, it takes effect on the 91st day because it was not referred, so it's not suspended, and then it becomes operative on January 1, 2018, or the date which CMS approves the imposition of these assessments on these Type A and Type B hospitals. So that leads to our conclusion that the 0.7% assessment is subject to referendum. It's the only provision that is, that Section 27, for the period from the effective date until January 1, 2018, or CMS approval, whichever is the later. That's the basis for our conclusion on that. And that's, I think that has been the point that has caused the most controversy lately. So with that, I'd like to respond to questions or turn things over to my colleagues.
Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, I guess we can go on to your colleague.
All right.
Members of the committee, Lori Freeman, Office of Legislative Counsel.
Did you want me to go through the ballot title, or?
I think if you could just generally walk through it, and that would be helpful.
Okay. The caption of the ballot title is the part that's all in caps. It explains that the Legislative Assembly, in creating or in enacting 2391, created these sources of revenue and then budgeted those sources of revenue to pay for the things specified in the bill, primarily the Oregon Health Plan, the state Medicaid program, and the Oregon Reinsurance Program. So the caption says it provides those funds that were currently budgeted to pay for health care for low-income individuals and families, which is the Medicaid program, and to stabilize health insurance premiums, which is the Oregon Reinsurance Program, using temporary assessments, and they're temporary because in some cases they sunset, and in other cases they only apply until December 31st, 2019. On insurance companies, some hospitals, and other providers of health care coverage. And the other providers of health care coverage include managed care organizations and the Public Employees Benefit Board. So then the result of the yes vote is that it basically generates the funds that the Legislative Assembly budgeted for these two purposes. But it also allows insurance companies to raise rates to offset the tax, but not by more than 1.5%. And then a no vote, obviously the opposite. It reduces the funds that the Legislative Assembly has budgeted to pay for these things. And because it rejects the assessment on insurance companies, Public Employees Benefit Board, a managed care organization, and because it delays the increase in the assessment on hospitals until January 1, 2018, or whenever CMS approves it.
Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we go on to the final party here.
Do you have anything to say?
Nothing to add. Okay.
Dan is available in case there are questions about initiative and referendum procedures.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I would like to add one other point, if I may. There's been a lot of talk about what the intent is, what legislative intent is, and I just wanted to highlight what the standards are for the meaning of the term legislative intent or intent of voters, which is that's the goal in ascertaining, trying to figure out what the legislature or voters are mean. That is the goal, to ascertain voter or legislative intent. And the Supreme Court has issued numerous cases that say that the preeminent source of legislative intent is the text used, the actual text used in whatever is being voted on, and the context of that, which is those other provisions of law that relate to measure that is actually being voted on. In this case, context for what the voters would vote on in a referendum petition is the remainder of House Bill 2391, and by implication, the fact that only very limited portions of 2391 were actually referred by petitioners to voters. Just want to make that point.
Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So, Dexter, I just want to be really clear on this. So, Section 27 is the portion that really is under discussion in terms of what will be referred, that subject will be referred to the voters, not prior sections to that.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, Representative Smith. The Section 27 is one of five provisions that are actually referred It is Section 27 is the 0.7% assessment on hospitals. And as I walked through with you before, and Section 28 modifies that. Section 28 was not referred.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any additional discussion from the committee? Seeing none. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
And we will now move on to public comment. We have 3, 4, 7 people signed up. Because I'm not too concerned about the wrath of the committee, they all had to come here today. So rather than the typical 3 minutes, everyone will have 5 minutes to testify. And I would note that Representative Parrish is in the back. She has submitted written testimony, but has indicated that she will not be testifying today. So I will go to the first person on the Lee Mercer. Mr. Mercer, if you would come forward.
Chair Devlin, Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Lee Mercer, mobilization chair and former president of Healthcare for All Oregon. HCO is working towards universal publicly funded health care in Oregon. We currently have nearly 23,000 supporters in our database, 120 member organizations, and over 160 supporting businesses. As we meet with Oregonians in our canvassing, tabling, speaking, and film events, we hear hundreds of stories of individuals suffering from lack of health care or health care costs they are experiencing. Until we reach universal health care, hundreds of our members have been active defending health care coverage by speaking out at town halls throughout the state against repeal of the ACA, which would, by the CBO, throw 22 million Americans off of health care. Similarly, a no vote on referendum 301 will throw potentially hundreds of thousands of Oregonians off the Oregon Health Plan. It is important that the danger of loss of health care to thousands of Oregonians is reflected in the language of LC 25. I'm also on the executive committee, former director of Main Street Alliance of Oregon. Currently,
Mr.
with
Mercer,
about,
excuse me. Can you move a little bit farther
sure.
back from the
and
mic?
It's back?
Just
okay,
back
I'm swallowing
bit.
The mic. Okay. I'm also an executive committee member and former director of Main Street Alliance of Oregon, currently with about 3,000 small businesses statewide on our statewide list. Many of these small business owners depend on OHP for their health coverage. In Silverton, where I live, there was a story in our most recent Our Town newsletter about area resident Randy Traeger, known for his family's signature product line, the Traeger Barbecue. Randy has recently undergone not only one but two liver transplants, which, due to ongoing medical costs, have forced him to depend on OHP and disability. This is an example of how anyone may need OHP to get through hard times. The current draft ballot title fails to convey the human impacts of Referendum 301. Voters are not told that hundreds of thousands of Oregonians face losing their Oregon health plan coverage, and thousands more could see their premiums rise. The ballot title should state explicitly how many Oregonians stand to lose coverage or would see their premiums rise if voters repeal the health care protections bill. Without the actual number, voters could likely be misled about what the actual impact of Referendum 301 will be. The numbers are staggering, but it's important to remember that the numbers represent real human lives. Thanks for your time and consideration in this matter. We have some another board member of HCA will speak later on in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Also, if you have written testimony, please submit it also.
Yeah, I did.
The next person up is Alicia Temple.
Good Hi, Chair Devlin, Chair Rayfield, and members of the committee. My name is Alicia Temple, and I'm the Deputy Director with the Coalition of Community Health Clinics. I'm here today because the ballot title you're considering fails to include the very serious harm that repealing HB 2391 would have on our state's most vulnerable groups. The Coalition of Community Health Clinics is made up of 15 clinics, over 40 locations across the Tri-County area. Our mission is to improve health care for vulnerable populations. Our member clinics serve patients struggling with poverty, abuse, addictions, homelessness, language barriers, mental health issues, and a myriad of other concerns. This past year, member clinics saw over 54,000 patients, had over 280,000 visits, and of those patients, 93% of them had incomes below 200% of the poverty line, and over half of them were covered by OHP. We talk a lot about healthcare transformation, but we should also be talking about how healthcare transforms lives. CCHC provides Oregon Health Plan enrollment services and clinic referrals, so I hear from people all the time who are desperate for access to healthcare. Whether it's to address an injury, like a hurt foot that's preventing them from being able to work, or to manage a chronic illness like diabetes, or to provide preventative care that keeps people healthy, people are calling us all the time for help to get enrolled or to find a clinic, and I see the real impact that Medicaid has on people's lives. Our communities rely on the Oregon Health Plan. Without the funding provisions of House Bill 2391, the state will be forced to make decisions about who gets to keep their health coverage and who loses it. Of all 375,000 Oregonians who receive Medicaid under the ACA are at risk. These are our neighbors and our coworkers. They're valued members of our community, and they're the people that my coalition of clinics works with on a daily basis. If we lose the federal dollars that Referendum 301 puts at risk, the progress we have made in Oregon to ensure that no one goes without health care will be undone. We've worked so hard to enroll people in OHP and to provide stability and to get people access to care that we can't jeopardize that. Cutting people from OHP will cause a crisis where people again find themselves unable to afford adequate coverage and will turn back to emergency rooms for care, or they just simply won't seek it at all. This is a prescription for chaos in our healthcare system that we've been working for so long to avoid. Voters who read this ballot title should understand that there are real consequences for the health of our communities. Their vote will decide whether 375,000 Oregonians get to keep their health care or not. This is serious. It can be life or death for people, and the decision should reflect that. The ballot title should be clear and precise in describing that impact. This referendum is about more than just hospitals and insurers. It's about people whose health care is on the line. I hope this committee will take their fellow Oregonians into account. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Next person up is Melissa Unger.
Co-Chair Devlin and Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Melissa Unger, and I'm the political director of SEIU Local 503, and I'm here today to testify on the ballot title that you are proposing. Our union represents 55,000 state workers and care providers. We represent people who process OHP and people that are on OHP. We are worried that this ballot title misses the point, and voters will not know the real consequences of the proposed referendum. We believe that voters must know what the impact of a no vote is. Providers and advocates came together to support House Bill 2391, which is being referred to the ballot, because they knew without the resources and the match from the federal government, over 300,000 people would no longer be able to receive Medicaid. Voters need to know how many people would lose their insurance and also the cost to the budget, both state and federal funds, which I believe is over $1 billion, maybe estimates of billions. We think that without this information, voters can't make an informed decision about the real life impacts of a no vote. Currently, there are no numbers in this ballot title about the cost to the budget, which feel like it really misses the impacts. Beyond the impact on people losing Medicaid, we also don't think this ballot title is clear enough about the impact of the reinsurance pool. DCBS has already decreased rates on the individual market by 6% because HB 2391 passed. Voters need to know that if this was to fail, individual rates would have to be increased, maybe even mid-year and possibly higher than 6% to deal with the mid-year change to the reinsurance pool. We believe that health insurance for hundreds of thousands of Oregonians is on the line with Referendum 301. Please make sure that the ballot title reflects the real consequences of a no vote so that voters understand what's on the line. Providers understood during session what was on the line, which is why they supported it. And we believe our voters will also support it if they understand the true consequences. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. And again, if anyone has written testimony, please provide that. Next up is James Barta.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is James Barta. I'm the Legislative Director for Children First for Oregon and our program United for Kids, where we're ranking Oregon the best place to be a kid. And kids rely on their parents' decision about health care. Medicaid expansion, as you well know, has allowed 300,000 more families, more than that, to have stable health care. And voters need to know that the potential impact of repealing this provider assessment will affect the stability of those families and those children. So my comment to you is echoing to the previous is that voters need to know this impact, how it affects families. You know, these families have only recently gained health care, and without it, these children and their parents are going to be put in a much more dire circumstance. And without that information, you know, about how this is affecting their neighbors in the hundreds of thousands, I think those numbers are important. And so I'm here to ask you to make sure that that information of the number of families affected is included.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Thank you very much. And my apologies, I skipped a person, but I was probably trying to avoid getting a little bit more time to practice the last name. Ms. Veneta Abdelatif?
You're in the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Veneta Abdelatif. So thank you. And I'd like to thank you, Co-Chairs Rayfield and Devlin, and the committee for allowing me to speak today. I'm here representing the Northwest Health Foundation. And on behalf of the Northwest Health Foundation, thank you for the chance to join you all today regarding Referendum 301. From our founding board president, Senator Mark Hatfield, to myself, the current board president, our foundation's commitment to advancing health care access for everyone in our region has been steadfast. Since our beginning in 1997, we've seen access expand to ensure nearly everyone in Oregon has the health insurance and care they deserve. We are honored to have played a small part in achieving this goal. And with the health care coverage of one in four Oregonians on the line, Referendum 301 reminds us just how fragile this achievement is. Our foundation's mission is to advance the health of the people of Oregon and Southwest Washington, and it is people who are at the center of Referendum 301. Our foundation has not yet taken a position on this issue, but we do recognize that Oregonians, our families, friends, and neighbors, are at the core of what's at stake. That's why I'm here today to comment on the draft ballot title that this committee has proposed. We appreciate the work that's gone into drafting this title. We know that the task before you is a really important and crucial one. And we believe that this title may fall short in letting voters know the impact of such drastic cuts to Medicaid and what it will have to the daily lives and lifelong health of the people whose good health our foundation was created to advance. Let me pull this back a little bit. The health care of over 375,000 Oregonians are at stake. The potential loss of hundreds of millions in state funds and billions in federal dollars that the provider assessment secures translates into real hurt, real pain, real consequences for many of us. Without these funds, we face painful decisions about who keeps and who loses coverage. And we should be upfront with voters that we face such painful decisions and that lives are actually at stake.
On behalf of our board, staff, and community partners, we appreciate the opportunity to share our perspective, and thank you very much for your commitment to the health of every Oregonian.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next person up is Nico Serra, looks like, or Seema.
Morning. Yes, my name is Nico Serra. I'm a board member with Healthcare for All Oregon, and I've come to share a little bit about my personal story. So I moved to Oregon in 2010, and I was hit by a car 6 weeks after I got here. And the car insurance was a disaster. In fact, I'm still involved in a class action lawsuit because of what happened with things behind the scenes. And all that I had was OHP. And in fact, I couldn't get on OHP for a few years until the ACA passed. They wouldn't even give me an application because they said, you're not a pregnant woman, you don't have children, we can't help you. That changed, obviously, with healthcare getting expanded, and a lot of people got help, including myself. And I'm really disappointed to hear about this going on the ballot. And I really, really hope that you will help people understand, because you know you're all representatives. You know that there are a lot of people out there that don't even know how to register to vote, okay, let alone fill out a ballot and understand what the heck you all are talking about. This is your duty. It is your responsibility to protect and serve people. You are here to serve the people. And we need you to give an accurate representation of what is actually happening with this agenda item, with this ballot measure. Everybody needs health care, okay? If you're sitting, you know, you're sitting up there right now, you're doing okay. But I'm sure that you know people in your lives that have needed really serious health care. And in fact, some of you might have needed some really serious health care. And the reality is that most of us need serious health care before our lives end. So this is moving in the wrong direction. We need to go to the other direction. And we need to make sure that people know what they're voting on. And it needs to be more simple. This is a lot of confusing stuff, and people kind of hate politics because it's so confusing. We need to do better. We need you to do better. Please do that. Thank you.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. We'll now move on to Tess Rennig.
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tess Ronig. Thank you for hearing me today. I moved to Oregon about 4.5 years ago. One of the many reasons I moved was better opportunities for healthcare. I was born with cerebral palsy, and in Montana, it was very, I was told multiple times I didn't qualify for caregiver hours, which, as you know, are provided by Medicaid. But when I got to Oregon, and after the ACA expansion happened, I was able to qualify for Medicaid in addition to Medicare. And having access to Medicaid has changed my life. I'm healthier now. I'm doing more physical therapy. I can take better care of myself because I've helped take care of myself. I'm also a singer-songwriter and activist, and I can focus on those things because I have health care and because I have the help I need. So the impact of a no vote on this referendum, I mean, could potentially affect me, and I could lose that coverage and lose that care, and I can't afford that out of pocket. My income is pretty small. And I live in Portland, and Portland is expensive. So it's very important that the voters know the impact of this, and that that language be clear, that people like me could lose coverage with a no vote. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is there anyone else that wishes to come forward to testify? We did not have anyone else signed up. David, will you come forward?
Mr. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Legislature. A lot of disability people can't read and write, can't know where all the health care plans are in the state of Oregon. Some of them on the waiting list is maybe 6,000 or 8,000 people on the waiting list is not getting served. So a lot of homeless people out there not getting no health care in the state of Oregon. So a special needs population in the state of Oregon for the counties don't have any health care. Some of them out of different districts don't have services for health care. So I was wondering if the legislature will pass the bill to health care statewide for the ones that really need it, for Oregon, be the first one in the nation, be covered. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing. The next meeting of this committee will be September 20th at 3 p.m. Public comment can still be emailed to this email address. I believe it's case sensitive.
It is not case sensitive.
That makes it easier. It's JRF301.exhibits@OregonLegislature.gov. Again, that's JRF301.exhibits@OregonLegislature.gov. And it will be taken through 5 p.m. on September 19th, the day before the committee meeting on September 20th. All public comments received will be posted on OLIS, as all comments are posted now that we have received at this point, and they will be posted periodically as they come in. Anything else for the good of the order for the committee? Seeing nothing else, we are adjourned. Seeing nothing else.